and gentlemen, good morning and welcome back to another live episode of 80s Wrestling, the podcast. Today, we mourn the loss, but celebrate the life and career of perhaps the most influential performer in the history of pro wrestling. From fashion to physique, they inspired countless others. Of course, we're talking about the superstar, Billy Graham. We're talking all about the superstar today, and also open forum. Whatever you guys want to talk about, we're here to discuss it. My name is Jumpin' Jay, and of course, I'm sitting across from a guy who has been inspired by superstar Billy Graham. You should see this man rock some tie-dye. Of course, I'm talking about superstar Tommy Fierro. Tommy, good morning, brother. What is going on?
Dun, dun, dun. I'm looking in my mirror right now with my tie-dye shirt on. Jumpin' Jay, how are you? Good morning.
Listen, I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm excited for today's conversation. Of course, it's always tough when we lose a pro wrestling superstar, but given his health conditions and kind of the battles he went through, it's a good time to sit back and talk about the impact that he left behind in the world of wrestling. Plus, I'm just happy to talk to you. I'm happy to talk to the callers, and I'm excited to hear everything that's going on in the world of Tommy Fierro. So I'm doing absolutely fantastic. How are you doing? Have you fully recovered from 80s Wrestling Con 4 yet? Have you caught your breath yet?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. As shortly after 80s Wrestling Con, so last week I had, I did 80s Wrestling Con, then I did ISPW after 80s Wrestling Con, then last week I did shows last Thursday and Friday. And then I got bronchitis. If my voice isn't 100%, I'm still coughing and stuff. So, pardon me if I cough at all during the podcast, or I sound a little off. I got bronchitis, and then I have a live event tonight. We're doing a fundraiser for the Barnegat PTA in Barnegat, New Jersey. It's going to be at Barnegat High School this evening, 7 o'clock bell time, and Tommy Dreamer will be in the main event tonight. Actually, Rick Recon is on his way down to Barnegat right now. He's going to be calling live on the scene from Barnegat at about 10:45 Eastern time today. So we'll get a update from Rick Recon and have you talk to him, Jay, because you were at the show, and I'm sure you want to discuss his career and his big match he had. But yeah, today we do mourn the loss of, without question, one of the biggest, most iconic, most celebrated professional wrestlers in the history of the professional wrestling business, and that's superstar Billy Graham. Obviously, Hulk Hogan has been on record saying that, you know, Billy Graham was one of his idols growing up. Unbelievable impact he's had on this business and this industry. Anyone out there that wants to call in and share their memories of the late, great superstar Billy Graham, call us up at 516-595-8295. Again, that's 516-595-8295. And tell us your favorite memories and moments from the former WWF World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, very well said, Tommy. And I think we're going to start the conversation off with a good friend of the show, all the way from Chico, California. Hopefully he's got the tie-dye on today. It's Babyface Brian. Brian, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Jumpin' Jay. Good morning, Tommy. Superstar Billy Graham, that's a huge, huge loss. Yeah, I was. I wanted to hear Tommy. I believe you got to see Superstar against Butch Reed in a cage out in New Jersey, but are there any other in-person matches that you got to see? I don't think Jay got to see Superstar in person, but I was wondering if Tommy got to see Superstar.
I did. I saw him, that match you just said, against Butch Reed in the steel cage. No, I started watching wrestling in 1985. So at that point, his big run in heyday in WWF was over by then. But, you know, I got familiar as a kid with Billy Graham when he came back and had that little run with Butch Reed. And then he was the manager for Don Morocco. So, like, that, as a kid, that's how I first found out about superstar Billy Graham. And I'll tell you what, and I think I mentioned this in the past, Jay, for the WrestleMania IV tournament when I was a kid, for some reason, I thought Don Morocco was going to win that tournament, win the WWF heavyweight title. And I know that Billy Graham was with him at that time, and they came out to Billy Graham's theme song. And, you know, it's funny that we actually used that theme song for the superstar Danny Morrison in ISPW. So it's now going to be a tribute to him, obviously, going forward. But, yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, I wasn't there, but watching him on the Slammy Awards with Hulk Hogan posing. Now, Ace Darling was at that, and Billy Graham actually touched, I believe, Ace Darling's shoulder, and he never forgets it. He talks about it all the time. But, yeah, man, what a huge, iconic, one of the biggest names ever in the history of professional wrestling. It's one of my guys that had my bucket list. I never got an opportunity to work with that I really, really would have loved to work with. Now, Brian, what are some of your favorite moments and memories from the superstar?
Well, I remember the same as you. I got to see him on TV, and he's out in the desert with the tarantula, and he has this amazing physique. And I think how, wow, he reminds me a little Hulk Hogan and Jesse Ventura. And then, of course, we grow up and find out the reason is because they emulated him. So pretty amazing. When we first saw him, you know, he's in there on Superstars of Wrestling, I believe. It could have been Championship Wrestling. It was right around when it changed, but he wore an earring into the ring, and Jesse commented about, you know, how he could have had serious injury doing that. He did a quick match against Enhancement Talent and won with a bear hug, and Jesse talked about how he stole his stuff. And so, you know, very soon after that, we saw the very graphic hip surgery on TV, which, you know, as a 12-year-old, that was just, it was pretty crazy to see this guy's hip cut open on TV and them working on replacing it. And of course, then he makes his return. And the one time I got to see him in person was he was back for 4 or 5 months in 87, same time you saw him. But I saw him fill in for Ken Patera in an old-fashioned whipping match, they called it, against Harley Race. And so Ken Patera was handcuffed to Bobby Heenan, and superstar Billy Graham was the main event August of 87 and defeated Harley Race. So they got to give Bobby Heenan 10 lashes with a belt. And I was, you know, I was pretty excited about Don Morocco versus Cowboy Bob Orton. Morocco is one of my guys that I really liked, and didn't realize the significance of seeing a former WWF world champion and a former NWA champion in a main event in 1987 and how cool that was. Morocco at the WrestleMania 4 tournament, he was one of the guys I was rooting for. I saw an article in WWF magazine that came out right before WrestleMania 4 where they accidentally said that Elizabeth was the manager of the new champion. So they kind of gave it away on accident, but I still watched and wasn't sure if that was actually what was going to happen or not. But yeah, superstar Billy Graham with the music of Jesus Christ Superstar and the influence that he gave over the whole of the wrestling world, and, you know, even including Ric Flair. What a loss to the wrestling world. And I noticed at 80s Wrestling Con when superstar Danny Morrison coming out that was the music that was playing. So thought how cool that was. Danny Morrison, you know, I know he was a big fan of Macho Man Randy Savage, but obviously he's taken a little bit from the world of the superstar Billy Graham as well.
Absolutely, man. And he involved his character as well. Originally, you know, ECW's Danny Doring was one half of the ECW Tag Team Champions back in the day, now going by his real birth name, with the superstar moniker behind it. So, yeah, the song itself obviously is a tribute to superstar Billy Graham. And, yeah, man, what an unbelievable loss for our industry. Jay, what are some of your favorite memories or most fond memories growing up watching superstar Billy Graham?
Well, kind of like Brian said, when you're young and you see clips of superstar Billy Graham, you go, man, that guy is kind of stealing Hogan's gimmick. He's kind of stealing Ventura's gimmick. And then, yeah, you grow up and you realize he was the original. You know, they have that documentary called Superstar Billy Graham 20 Years Too Soon, and he was definitely ahead of his time. And when you're sitting here talking about that, we were all at an ISPW show just a couple weeks ago, And there is a wrestler who's currently active in the ring who is still being influenced by superstar Billy Graham. It kind of makes you take a step back and go, this guy might have been way ahead of his time. And you wonder what the world of wrestling, what the landscape would have looked like if there had never been a superstar Billy Graham, because so many great wrestlers since then have taken little nuggets, whether it's the look, whether it's, you know, the bodybuilding physique or just the attire, the swagger, the way he would talk, the way he would rhyme in his promos. I'm a young enough man that I missed his prime run at the top. And so all I have to go on is what I saw of him later in his career when he's in a managerial role or when he's not quite what he was at his peak, or tapes. I was watching YouTube this morning on some of his promos, and just the way he would talk. I mean, you could hear Dusty Rhodes in there. You could hear Hulk Hogan for sure in there. You could hear Jesse Ventura. And so the fact that he influenced so many people, it's when you kind of sit back and you go, man, the guys I grew up loving this guy. And so if there wasn't a Billy Graham, there might not have been a Hogan, you know? And so it's just kind of one of those moments where you step back and go, this guy really changed the landscape of the whole industry.
I'd almost say that he was the Muhammad Ali of wrestling, because he's got a very similar swagger to when we saw, you know, same thing. We weren't old enough to appreciate Muhammad Ali, but then when you watch Muhammad Ali and him talking, it's like, oh, okay, I see where these two guys in the 70s were revolutionizing their sports and superstars of their sports. And when he lost the title to Backlund, when I finally, it was late 80s on VHS when I saw that, and I saw his foot on the ropes, I was like, wow, like, you never see a heel get protected in a loss. And you saw that with the superstar, where even though I feel like he should have had a longer run and maybe even changed babyface back in the late 70s, it was interesting to see that they let him have his foot on the rope when he got pinned, so it wasn't just this clean Backlund going over. And I don't want to dominate the calls. I'm sure there's some other guys out there that want to talk, but I really love talking to you guys again.
Listen. Take your time, and there's no rush. There's no rush talk. We're talking about one of the most legendary figures in the history of this business. You're one of our, if not our top caller from the get-go. So there's no rush here, man. Take your time. We're talking and remembering superstar Billy Graham. Anyone out there that wants to call in and join the chat, again, the number is area code 516-595-8295. Again, 516-595-8295. About a half hour or so, we're going to get, or maybe even before, Rick Recon will be calling live from Barnegat, New Jersey, the site of tonight's ISPW show, and we'll talk about ISPW with him and jump in. I know you want to ask him a couple of questions, but it's okay, Brian. You can stand a couple more minutes. One thing that I wanted to mention to both of you guys, I remember as a kid, you remember that, because you, Brian, you said about Billy Graham on the desert. I remember having that poster as a kid hanging on my wall. Back in the day when you would go to the live events, they would sell those posters of all the different superstars. And when you went into the WWF magazine in the middle of the catalog section, you would find it there. Did you guys have any Billy Graham merchandise growing up? I know for sure I definitely had that poster.
No merchandise for me. I remember the black shirt with the plain gold superstar on it. And like I say, as a kid, I didn't appreciate the, you know, one of the few cards that I went to having Billy Graham versus Harley Race. That's, you know, unbelievable that I got to see that. So I have a couple of pictures of that my mom took in the day. But unfortunately, I would have had that LJN if they'd come out with one. I really wish that's one of the kind of misses that they had, as far as I think they should have had a superstar Billy Graham LJN figure. So that would have been one I would have loved to have had. But no poster and no T-shirt for me. I'm guessing that Jumpin' Jay probably didn't have one either. But I'm not at all surprised that you did, Tommy.
No, you're right. I did not have any superstar Billy Graham merchandise, but I did jump on the Google machine, and there are some people that make some pretty cool looking custom LJNs of superstar Billy Graham. And so I know you specialize in some customized LJNs, Brian. So maybe that's got to be put on your list.
Definitely on the bucket list. I'd love to get one and paint one up for sure. And open forum wise, want to wish both of your wives, hope they had a great Mother's Day. I'm sure that you both were kind to them. So
thank you, man.
You know, and also congratulations to Tommy. I know you had communion for your daughter the day after, so I know it's been a very hectic couple of weeks aside from wrestling, just in with personal life and anniversaries of things and whatnot.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that very much. And again, it was awesome seeing you up here a couple of weeks back at 80s Wrestling Con, and hopefully you can make it back up soon. I know. And now, real quickly before you go, now I've been for a couple of years now saying how Jumpin' Jay is legitimately the world's tallest man. Now, when you got to see him firsthand in person, how high did you have to look up, Babyface Brian, when you were looking at Big Jay?
Oh, it was just like with the wrestlers. You know, I'm next to the Beverly Brothers. I'm next to Slaughter, Tony Atlas, and all these pictures. And I'm a great guy for those pictures because it makes them look more giant than they normally would be, since I'm, you know, 5'5", and Jumpin' Jay is the same way. It's, you know, I got a little, you know, or I'll have, there's a guy, Tom the Bomb, that listens to this podcast. And so he posted, he's got a picture of me where he looks like a giant, and he's got one next to Jay where he looks like just a regular sized person next to Jumpin' Jay. So I thought that was amusing. So
yeah,
I couldn't have hoped to meet nicer people out there and be considering you both friends. So thanks so much. And you'll have to ask Rick Recon how he's feeling after that final spot. My God, I don't know if it's on YouTube or not, but yeah,
he just texted me. He's about 15 minutes out from calling in. So if you want to call back and talk to him, you can feel free to call back if you'd like.
Definitely. Yeah. You can put me on hold or whatnot, but that was a brutal match and very entertaining, the sacrifices those guys made to their bodies for our entertainment. And so, yeah, I was wondering how he made it home that last, you know, that night, or if you had to crash on your couch, because, wow, that was something. So,
hey Brian, before we stick you on hold.
I was just saying.
You go first, go Tommy, then I got a follow-up.
Yeah, I was going to say, the last thing in the world I can do right now is bring a wrestler home to sleep on my couch, because my life is literally wrestling from when I wake up till I go to sleep. So if I bring a wrestler to sleep over, my wife's kicking me the fuck out of the house. So
right.
I have to be the days in for him that night. Listen, we're going to put you on a brief hold, and then when he comes on, we'll get you back on, because it'd be a cool perspective for him, you being from California, not an East Coast or New Jersey wrestling fan. So, WJ, you can follow up with your point, then we'll get into something else.
Well, I was just going to say, in the spirit of open forum, I know that today's date, May 18th, has some other kind of historic wrestling ties. I know Babyface Brian is a big date guy, and so I'm wondering if he has anything for May 18th off the top of his head.
Oh, I do. It would have been Jimmy Snuka's 80th birthday, so I know that's near and dear to Tommy's heart. And another anniversary that's really crazy when you think about it is it's 21 years to the day after we lost Davey Boy Smith at the age of only 39. And then one other crazy one is that it's 43 years after the first major news story that I remember, which was Mount St. Helens. And on that day, Roddy Piper and Rick Martel were traveling together in Rick Martel's new vehicle when the eruption happened, and they actually crashed and went underneath a semi truck and were able to get out of there and help the other travelers. And then they had to hitch a ride to get to the show that night. So there's a lot of stuff aside from yesterday being the 60th anniversary of Bruno winning the title for the first time and the day that we lost superstar Billy Graham. Today has all this crazy history to it as well. So yes, May 18th, big day in the history of wrestling.
Man, you did not disappoint. I only knew two of those facts that you had. I asked the right guy. Tommy, did you know any of that stuff?
That's why I pay you the big money, Jumpin' Jay, to get the facts straight, you know?
We just got to bring Brian on. He's got all the dates. But Brian, we'll stick you on hold. We'll bring you back when Rick Recon's on, and we'll talk to him about everything ISPW.
Sounds great. Thank you, gentlemen.
Now, jumping, Jay, let me ask you real quick. Going back in the history books of professional wrestling from the 50s till right now, and I know this is a really, really, really tough – I mean, it's so hard to narrow it down, top 10, top 25, top 100. But obviously someone like superstar Billy Graham, as far as the impact he's made on the professional wrestling industry, I would say, you know, he has to easily – and this is without even writing any names down on a paper, he'd have to fall of all time, in my opinion, as far as contributions and big name-wise goes and the impact he's had on the industry.
Oh, I would say he's for sure in the top 10. When you start talking about most influential, and you kind of got to go, like you said, back in time, because you could pick somebody today that is certainly influencing young people. Like the wrestlers we see on TV today were influenced by the same people we were growing up. But you got to look back at who influenced them. And so I think superstar Billy Graham is definitely at the top of the list. I think of names like Gorgeous George. I think about Nature Boy Buddy Rogers. I would put Bruno Sammartino on there. Gosh, you can even go back to like the original Sheik, because if you think about all the Sheiks and just kind of all the foreign wrestlers that really just personified that heel character. And then if you come more towards nowadays, I would think guys like Roddy Piper really impacted wrestlers after him. Hogan obviously did. I would say Jake the Snake's interview style probably influenced people. I would say the way Shawn Michaels works in the ring is probably influencing people. But when you're talking historically, I think, yeah, you got to have Billy Graham on that list and guys similar to him that maybe didn't have the physique or the talk, but other guys that changed the game in a different way. Even guys for their technical ability, like Lou Thesz, probably influenced a lot of people. And so it's really interesting to play that game.
Absolutely.
To look back and see who is impacting the world of wrestling. And then you got to talk about who's wrestling now that's going to be impacting the next 10 to 20 years. And so that's just a fun conversation.
You know, let's stick on this conversation for a minute. And this is me. Listen, obviously you don't have 3 seconds to even prepare this, because what I'm about to ask you, you do not know what I'm asking yet. So just off the top of your head, and you can go back and change it afterwards, but if I put a gun to your head, Jumpin' Jay, right now, and I said, and as soon as I asked you, you came in thinking, you just got to start, you have to rattle off 4 names. Who is the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling?
Of all time?
Of all time.
Oh, my word.
I know it's so hard. You'd have to really sit down and think about it. But the spot, who would you pick?
And what's fun about this conversation is we could have this conversation an hour from now and my answers would be different. We could have it a week from now and my answers would be different. And it's all kind of personal opinion.
Sure.
And I'm going to pick guys from the 80s because that's the era that I live in, that I grew up. And so without a shadow of a doubt, one of my 4 spots has to be taken up by Hulk Hogan just for the impact
on
the industry.
Stop right there.
Yeah.
I agree with you. So I'm gonna play along with you while you're doing it. So yes, I agree. If there's 4 spots on the Mount Rushmore wrestling, Hulk Hogan absolutely, positively has to be on that. So I agree with you. Hulk Hogan has to be one of those 4 spots.
Okay, and I'm guessing our next 3 are gonna differ because, gosh, you didn't prepare me, so I'm just going off the top of my head. I think if Hogan's on there,
I am also.
Okay. I think Ric Flair also has to be on there.
You know, I'd have to give that some more thought. I'm thinking as far as money they drew in the business, because the bottom line is, and gosh, I'm not saying he didn't. He drew quadrillions amounts of money.
Yeah, here's –
but on the spot, he might be, but I would say you'd have to put Stone Cold Steve Austin on that as well.
Well, see, here's the disadvantage Ric Flair has is – for his prime career, he wasn't in the World Wrestling Federation. He didn't have the rocket of marketing that the WWE brings. And so his earning is going to be less. So if we're going box office Mount Rushmore, then, yeah, he might not make it. But if he would have had the same storylines that he had with Dusty Rhodes and those kind of feuds, if he would have had it on a bigger stage, man, I feel like he would be on there. But, yeah, money-wise, Hogan, Austin for sure. I think – is Austin the all-time biggest-selling merchandise-wise guy that WWE has ever had?
I believe so. But listen, let's stick. And also, Flair might very well be on that. I don't want anyone to message me saying, "How is that Flair? How's Flair not in the Mount Rushmore?" He might very well be. And it is hard to narrow it down to just four guys because, gosh, I mean, you can make arguments for so many different guys: Undertaker, Andre the Giant, Dusty. I mean, there's so many different guys. So yeah, it's an unfair question to begin with. The thing about what was the thing you just said real quick? About Stone Cold being the highest drawing guy of all time. Here's the difference. You got to remember back then in the 80s. When Hulk Hogan was running wild and they had all this merchandise and stuff, Stone Cold during his era, they made everything of Steve Austin. I mean, not that they didn't have Hulk Hogan back in the day, but back in that like 98, 99, 2000 era, I mean, they literally had branding deals. If you go back and look at it, all the stuff, they had branding deals with everyone. So like, there was everything from, you know, lighters to umbrellas to like, anything you could possibly think of because wrestling was so red hot at the time. So I think that Austin might have had, as far as grossing-wise, merchandise-wise, now I'm talking about, I think that he might have had a lot more merchandise available than Hulk Hogan did, like the T-shirts. I mean, how many different – and back then, 1999, how hot. I mean, wrestling was so in – that everyone was rocking wrestling t-shirts. Everywhere you went, you would see wrestling t-shirts. And then back then, if you look at all the different Stone Cold Steve Austin shirts they had, man, they were fucking printing them out like they were, you know, just paper. Because anything they put on a t-shirt would sell back then. So if you go back and look at how many shirts were released from Hulk Hogan during that 1985 to 1990 run compared to Stone Cold, I guarantee you Stone Cold probably has at least 50 more shirts than Hulk Hogan does. And you times that times a million people, that's the difference between what he grossed and what Hogan grossed as far as merchandise revenue goes. So, yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting conversation to have, for sure.
So let me ask you this. Let me twist it a little bit. Because to be on Mount Rushmore, I think it takes a number of factors. And I think money is definitely one of those factors. I think the other factor is maybe kind of what we're talking about with superstar Billy Graham. The influence factor. Who do you think influenced more of the next generation? Do you think Hogan influenced more up-and-coming wrestlers with his style, or do you think Steve Austin did?
I would say, you know, I don't think any of us would be doing what we're doing right now, including the wrestlers, if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan and the road he paved for everyone in this industry. I mean, back then, wrestling was pop culture, and he was, you know, the superhero of professional wrestling. And I think that, you know, the business is where it's at right now from all the blood, sweat, and tears that not only Vince McMahon, you know, had, but all that stuff he put on Hulk Hogan's back in the time when he was the guy. So I would definitely say Hogan. We both agree on that.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then.
Stone Cold, we both agree. Yeah.
Well, and let me ask you this. Who do you think influenced more wrestlers? You're picking Stone Cold. You're putting Stone Cold's face on the mountain, but you're not putting Ric Flair's. Who do you think influenced more wrestlers, Ric Flair or Steve Austin?
That's really, 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 really. I might throw.
You're going to regret bringing this topic up
spot,
because
you
could debate
like
each and every name.
On there.
What's that?
You're making it seem you're putting me on the spot. You make it seem like I don't want to put Ric Flair on this list.
Your exact words where I got to think about that, which means Ric Flair doesn't have a guaranteed spot on your Mount Rushmore of wrestling, which is interesting to me.
Listen, it's not over yet. The podcast still has a half hour to go. I have still time. I will give you my final answer by the end of the broadcast.
You don't have to see that
exactly on there.
This is the night. About wrestling debate is it can change. Your Mount Rushmore today is tomorrow, and it's going to be different than it was last week. That's why these conversations are fun. I'm not saying Stone Cold shouldn't be on the mountain. I'm just making a case for there's only four spots, and you run out of four spots really quickly. And so you really just got to look
sure.
at each an individual spot. And we'll come back to this conversation. We're going to jump into another call. We're talking about superstar Billy Graham. We're talking about the impact he had on professional wrestling. It's also open forum, whatever you feel like talking about. We're going to answer the phone call from a good friend, Joe from Atlanta. Good morning, Joe, and welcome to the conversation.
Good morning, brothers. Yes, rest in peace, superstar Billy Graham. Yeah, I mean, what comes to mind is the muscles, the tan, bald head, and just, yeah, an influencer. And due to the fact that I always tell you guys when I call in, like, WrestleMania 3 was, like, my first beginning to watch WWF, and I think it was WrestleMania 4 that they simply introduced him, and he just walked down the aisle, and they played his theme music, and that was like, it was to us, to me, I'm going to call myself young today, it was just like, okay, so there were wrestlers before Hulk Hogan and Macho Man, so that was like, what made us like question, you know, probably like my uncles and my dad, you know, allowed me to watch it. So I don't know for sure that I said, who is this guy? But yeah, it was proof that there was wrestlers before Hulk Hogan, et cetera. So yeah. And that's where it's like, yeah, I wish I knew more about his matches. So mm-hmm. that maybe I'll watch to honor him. Maybe I'll YouTube a superstar Billy Graham wrestling match today. And then I always love where you guys go with your impromptus. So here's what I got for my Mount Rushmore: Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Andre the Giant. And here's going to be my asterisk one where people might say no, but I'm going to say Ultimate Warrior. And it kind of goes in that money generating, colorful. So that would be my Mount Rushmore.
Listen, that's not a bad Mount Rushmore. This is what I love about wrestling is every character can speak to a fan differently. And so everyone you named there was a huge part of my childhood. And so I have a tough time arguing that anybody shouldn't be on there. That'd be one heck of a Mount Rushmore if that was a real monument to go see, I'll tell you that much.
Yes, for sure. So, yeah.
Fantastic,
Joe. Everybody, yeah, even my dad texted me this morning about superstar Billy Graham passing away. So, yeah, it's going around the world.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm going to go change my outfit to, you know, very colorful tie-dye, and I'll talk with you guys later.
Sounds good.
Thanks,
Joe.
Man.
Thank you so much. It is a tie-dye type of day.
Obviously, Jumping Jay has a camera hidden somewhere in my house where he can see directly from his beautiful mansion in Minnesota, because he knows I'm rocking a tie-dye shirt right now as we speak. Jumpin' Jay, let's continue this conversation about Mount Rushmore. But I believe Rick Recon is on hold now. He's live from Barnegat, New Jersey, the site of tonight's ISPW show. And I'm going to have him jump into this conversation. Obviously, he doesn't know what we're talking about just quite yet, but I want to get his take on it too. Rick Recon, welcome back to 80s Wrestling the Podcast, my man. How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing better.
Very
if I was
well.
Down there at the beach with you right now. I heard you're down on the beach already, right?
I am. I'm working on the tan. I mean, this is a beautiful shore with the beautiful girls, and man, are they eyeing me? I'm gonna have to hold off until after the match though to partake in my little, you know, apocalypse later, but you know, yes, Ric Flair, baby.
So what you're saying? What you're saying is they're gonna rock out tonight in Barnegat, New Jersey.
They are gonna rock out by the drills and the hundreds, my friends. They are.
Hey, listen, real quickly, Jumpin' Jay actually wanted to ask you a couple questions. He was at the 80s Wrestling Con and was there for the show afterwards. We also have a caller on hold that was waiting to talk to you as well, Recon. One of our regular listeners flew in from California and was extremely impressed with you. He wants to talk to you as well. So, but real quickly, we're having a conversation. Obviously, we're talking about the life and times of superstar Billy Graham and the impact that he's had on this industry. And I don't know, we just started talking, we got into talking about Mount Rushmore. And obviously, it's so hard to narrow it down to four guys without pissing off a million fans. And it's obviously everyone's perspective and opinion. Obviously, I think without saying, and let's see if you agree with us in this one, the first head that has to be on that Mount Rushmore, I think that we'll all agree on, well, at least me and Jay does, is Hulk Hogan. You think that Hogan should definitely be on that, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That
okay.
was already,
so,
that he's pretty much cemented his place on forever on Mount Rushmore. I think if he's not on it, you're really not looking at the business the way you should be looking at the business, to be honest. That's so he's absolutely on Mount Rushmore, hands down.
All right. So now, without you, obviously you didn't know we were talking about this, you had no time to prepare for it. Who would be the other three guys? Again, without giving it too much thought, because you're being put on the spot here. Who would be the other
yeah.
three guys you would put on your Mount Rushmore?
Well, I have to say, Bruno Sammartino, he kind of like laid the foundation, I believe, mm-hmm. as champion. So I would say it'd be Bruno Sammartino, obviously Hulk Hogan. I would have to say Ric Flair, because of
woo!
Longevity and just what he woo baby and what he means to the business and everybody that was that he influenced on the way. And then I would have to say, if we're talking business, box office numbers, everything, I would have to say Stone Cold Steve Austin. I have to.
Yeah,
so
man,
that
I,
would have to be my
I,
Mount
I,
Rushmore
I,
right there. You know, the big box office, you know.
Yeah. Jay, I think I'm going to go with Bruno. I'm going to put Bruno on there as well. I think Bruno Sammartino needs to be on that Mount Rushmore. What do you think?
See, this is why I love this conversation, is because – It can change per the day, per the person you're talking to, the mood you're in. But, yeah, if you start talking about people that laid the foundation, that were influential, that changed the industry and influenced the performers to come after him, then that mountain might look very different than if you say box office hits. Because you could probably come up with four wrestlers before Steve Austin even steps into the ring that you could put on a mountain. But then once Steve Austin hits the ring, you got to put Steve Austin on the mountain. And so I love that. I love this conversation because it has so many different ways that you could put it. 100% Hogan needs to be on there for both box office and for the way he impacted the business. I would say 100% Ric Flair needs
also,
to be on there.
Here's the thing, though. Again, I'm not saying Flair shouldn't be on there. How can you not put The Undertaker on there? Undertaker is one of the biggest stars and characters and most important figures in the history of this business. So I think it's so hard to narrow it down, so I might not put Bruno on there. I think definitely Hogan has to be on there. Definitely Stone Cold Steve Austin has to be on there. But listen, we're talking about the past, and right now we have on the future on 80s Wrestling, the podcast, ICW Superstar, one of the hottest independent guys in the business today, Rick Recon. Now, Jay, you're from Minnesota. We have babyface Brian the Hulk from California. Now, I know that you don't really get to check out too much independent stuff down there by you, but you follow ISPW through our social media and through our YouTube videos. Give Rick Recon a first-hand perspective of your ISPW experience a couple weeks back.
Well, first of all, Rick, it was a pleasure meeting you in person, and it was a pleasure to watch you do your thing live and in person, not just seeing videotapes on YouTube or photos that Tommy sends my way. So first of all, thank you for doing what you do, because it was a very entertaining evening. And from my perspective, you had a very busy 80s wrestling con. You were being followed around by hordes of people, lights, cameras. It was a whole ordeal, but yet it seemed like you maintained your focus and stepped into the ring, and you had one heck of a main event match, man. There were so many aspects in that match. It was so darn entertaining from bell to bell. I honestly thought you were going to win, and so when it didn't go your way, I was a little disappointed, but you have to applaud the effort. I would love to know, as a performer, being at the con all day, meeting some guys you probably grew up watching, and then everything that goes into preparing and then having a big match that night, that's a long day for anybody. But when you're performing, you have to be at a certain level. Your energy has to stay up, and so – You had probably even a longer day than those of us that were just enjoying the con. And so I would just love to know, how did your day go? How do you feel all day knowing you have this big match? And then were you happy with how the match went? Just give me your breakdown of that whole day, if you could.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you got to be able to shift gears, and you got to be able to do everything. You have to be prepared for anything. So you have to be able to shift your focus and basically just not get through the day, but you have to be able to just maintain your focus. You understand what's coming. later on in the evening. You know that that's not going to change, but you have to live in the moment because this is very much a business about living in the moment anyway, enjoying everything that comes with it. And for a con like that, an 80s wrestling con, that's just like kid in the candy store. You know what I mean? It was, and each year it just seems to get bigger and bigger and more people. And it just, dude, it's just awesome. It's awesome from a wrestling fan's perspective. It's awesome from those of us who are in the business who are still fans, who still love this. And then obviously being followed around by, TV cameras and all that, that does add an extra element to it. But, it was being filmed was very much fly on the wall. So it was just basically go do your thing, do what you do anyway, normally. So that helps in a lot of ways. It's just, not to jump in real quick,
but for people that might not know what he's talking about, or Jay, you don't know what he's talking about. And I really can't give too many details of anything, but what I could say is that there was a major network there filming throughout the day and evening at 80s Wrestling Con and ISW for a new series on professional wrestling. That's the only thing that I can say. I can't say anything other than that. But if anyone listening wondering why you were saying that, Jay, and what Recon was saying about having the cameras and all that stuff, that's why there's something being filmed, and we're a big part of it. So and I can't say anything else other than that, but I just wanted to, for anyone that might be listening and wondering what that meant, that's what that meant. But I'm sorry to jump in. Go back to you.
Yeah, no, that's all good. I appreciate that. I was kind of keeping that can't say too much on it, because it's secret. So, stay tuned. But it was, like, again, getting back to that, it was an awesome experience. But you know what? When it's time to lace up the boots, it's time to lace up the boots. So once you get into that time and it's time to prep and it's time to get ready for that, that's all that there is. That's the main focus, like, especially against a guy like Bull James, like top professional, man, top guy, hands down, one of the best I ever got in the ring with, period. So that's a guy you have to completely focus on. And, no, the match didn't go my way. It didn't. And it was, I'm not going to lie, it was heartbreaking. But when you have a taste of something like that and you get that close and you almost have it, man, you can't let it go. You can't let it go. So I'm not letting it go. So I will get back to that point again. And I will win the ISW Heavyweight Championship, period.
Woo!
I believe he will, sir. I believe he will. Rick, as long as we got you on the line, we're going to jump into some phone calls here. Up first is Babyface Brian, who flew all the way from Chico, California. I was sitting next to him, front row, at the Big Rockin' Wrestling Show, and we were blown away by that, the way the match ended. So we're going to bring Brian on here to talk to you. Babyface Brian, welcome back to the show. You are live with Rick Recon.
Rick, I had the pleasure of meeting you the night before after you had driven a few hours from wrestling and then wrestled the main event at ISPW's Rock and Wrestling. I had a couple things real quick. Is that finish was phenomenal. I couldn't believe that you were able to. I know it took a while, but it was crazy you were able to get up after that being powerbombed through a door up in the middle of the ropes there by Bull James. The sight of Bull James being such a mammoth human being and you being, bigger than me and way more athletic, but just the size of Bull James is something else. And the next morning when I was at the hotel, I ran into Dory Funk and his wife. And I asked if they were at the show, and Dory's wife, I said, I got some pictures from that night, and the first person on her lips, she says, text me pictures of Rick Recon. And so I didn't tell Tommy that,
wow.
But that's who
wow.
I, that's who she, that's
oh,
who she wanted
wow.
to know
this
about.
Is...
She says, I said, is there anybody else you'd like? She says, Snitsky, but Rick Recon. So Rick Recon, I got to send her a couple pictures I posted on social media of you, and she, loved the image. So, just a really cool thing that the legend Dory Funk's wife you were the buzz. You were the guy that she wanted to, she was sad that she missed and she wished she'd gotten to see. So really cool for that. And then my other question, aside from how did you get up from that spot and how were you the next day, is who were your influences? Savage and Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, because those are some guys that I think of when I watch you in that ring.
Those are hands down. Those three are massive influences for me. Also, another one I would have to say is Triple H is another big one. But though honestly, I'm very humbled and flattered that you named those three, because those three are guys that I absolutely look up to and I'm heavily, heavily influenced by. Those are three of the greatest ever to ever get in the ring. So I'm very much appreciative of that. And and knowing that Marty Funk actually, you know, was looking for me specifically, my heart's all a flutter right now. So that made my week.
Hey,
months, actually.
Hey, be careful, brother. Doria fucking stretch you. Be careful about that.
I'm well aware he would stretch me. See, even he would school me, hands down, absolutely. As I'm respectful.
Hey, listen,
I'm very respectful.
Real quickly, we'll do an exclusive here. Rick Recon was actually going to announce this a little bit later this afternoon on social media, but we'll announce it here first. Actually, next month, Babyface Brian and Jay, Rick Recon, he wants to do this for real. He wants to do this for a living. He wants to be a WWE superstar. And the only way you can do that is by learning and getting better and training with people that are much better and much wiser than you. So next month, actually, Rick Recon is going to Florida and he's going to be training with Dory Funk. That's breaking news right here on Indies Wrestling, the podcast.
Wow.
Congratulations.
And,
Thank you.
All the best to you.
Yes,
you got big things
really,
in your future, my
so
friend.
Much. Thank you, man. I have there's so many people that have supported me so heavily over the last few months and year, and I'm just thankful for it. I'm trying to live up to that support. So Dory is amazing, and his school is legendary. So to be able to even enter into that is something that, like, childhood me never would thought of would ever have happened. So just to go is tremendous for me. So I'm incredibly excited for this.
Excellent. So great to talk to you. Thanks so much. And thanks for that match. And like I say, how long did it take to get over that, that spot at the end of the match there? He also, Bull James basically dragged you like a rag doll over that door that was remaining. I was thinking, geez, you had to feel that, but maybe you were still numb from the actual spot. So I don't know how long that took to get over.
It took a bit. Bull is no joke. He is no joke, man. He is a solid man. He is solid. He's a brute, and that's why he's champion. But I was not going to just lay down there. I had to get up. I had to get up, so I got up. But, man, I definitely felt it for quite a few days afterwards.
And you owe Ace Darling a receipt at some point down the line.
Yes, he does.
Yes, I do. He is right near the top of that list. Right near the top of that hit list, man. Believe me.
Well,
listen,
you guys have a great weekend.
Rick,
it's so good talking to you.
You too, Brian. Thank you, man. And Recon, I'll let you go. I know you're on the beach right now in Barnegat, New Jersey. Again, everyone out there that lives in the New Jersey area, you can come out and see Rick Recon tonight. 7 p.m. bell time is a fundraiser for the Barnegat PTA. It's going to be at Barnegat High School in Barnegat, New Jersey. Rick Recon will be in action against one half of the ISPW Tag Team Champions, Vic Delicious. Tommy Dreamer will be on the card along with Bull James defending his ISPW heavyweight title, and Vicious Vicky will be defending her ISPW women's title. For tickets and more information, you can head over to ispwwrestling.com. King of Rock, enjoy the rest of your day, and I will see you down there later in Barnegat.
Oh, I will, brother. I will. This is the lovely beach. I'll see you then. See you later, man.
All right, man. Take care.
Man, he gets down to the show early, brother. He's down there enjoying the life, sitting on the beach, getting ready, getting focused for tonight.
if you listen, if you were a good looking guy like that, I'm sure that he can walk into a bar, right, and just go up to a girl and say, "Hey, you're coming home with me tonight." You know what I mean? So I'm sure he's down there getting his picking. He's a rock star.
I know, but you said if I was. You don't think I could walk into a bar down in where is he in New Jersey?
Well, listen, it depends on how high the ceiling is in the bar, if you can get in or not, you know?
I'm just pulling your leg, man. We're going to roll back to the conversation. Superstar Billy Graham. We're also talking Mount Rushmore's open forum. We got a caller waiting on hold. He's the guy that was 80s Wrestling Con, Tommy. He's probably got a lot to say about Superstar Billy Graham. Firefighter Brian, good morning, sir. Welcome back.
It's a pleasure to be back. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing very well, sir. How about yourself?
Doing a lot better now that I'm talking to you guys.
Nice.
I'm actually heading to the beach myself in Florida. I'm listening to you guys. I'm calling from Florida here for my niece's graduation. Oh, yeah. It's beautiful here. It's beautiful here. We came at the right time because you'll appreciate this, Jay, where we are. It's actually in the upper 30s. It's been in the 70s, been beautiful, shorts, flip-flops, the whole nine yards, and now it's in the upper 30s there, so we came at the right time. My niece got graduated at the right time. We're heading to the beach now, but I had to call in when you said the topic is Superstar Billy Graham.
Yes, sir.
I had to call in. You talk about a trailblazer. You talk about a game changer, okay? He is one of the most important and influential. You look at the wrestlers. I mean, listen, I don't know if you guys have named who he's. You can see the influence. Hulk Hogan, that right there, arguably the biggest name in the history of the business. Who's to say there may not be a Hulk Hogan if it weren't for Superstar Billy Graham? Triple H, the Steiners,
right.
Buddy Landell, and more than anybody, Jesse Ventura. Ventura. And I thought it was coincidental that they went to the WWE Hall of Fame in the same year. Billy Graham was the first inducted. Jesse ended the show. And he said, the first thing he said, Billy Graham changed wrestling forever. And he showed that WWF at the time can make money with a heel champion. And I think he went to his grave pissed off that they had him drop it to Backlund. But you talk about a trailblazer, a game changer, and I'll leave you guys with this because I know it's almost 11 o'clock and my wife's going to be screaming, "Come on, let's go." you know, I do, and I hope the next time I see you guys, I'll do this for you. I do as Tommy knows, Heineken's my beer of choice, and I do a certain kind of chug with the Heineken, and I have my own speech, my own toast, my own everything that was heavily influenced by Superstar Billy Graham. So for that, I thank the superstar. And I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of – even like – let me ask you guys. Tommy, did you meet or work with Billy Graham?
No. I mentioned at the top of the program, he's one of the guys that was on my bucket list. I never had a opportunity to meet. I saw him wrestle in person a few times and also manage a couple times Don Morocco. I started watching wrestling in 85, so when Billy Graham made his comeback, that's how I first became familiar with him. But, yeah, I mean, as far as a convention goes, I always he was always on my bucket list, but his health was never good enough for the travel to New Jersey for an event. He would do private signings if you went out to him, but he was definitely on my list of guys that I really, really wanted to work with and meet that I never had an opportunity to tell.
Yeah, same here. I would have loved to have met that guy. I knew I probably wasn't going to because of his health. And, you know, and like you guys, you know, that's really when I got introduced to him, his mid-80s comeback, which, let's be honest, is kind of better left forgotten. Especially, you know, listen, I love Billy Graham, but his commentary at the first SummerSlam, I mean, you know, you need a lot of beer to get through that. But listen, God bless, rest in paradise, Superstar Billy Graham. thank you guys for giving me some time. Let me get going before my wife starts going. You guys met my wife. Let me end with this. You'll love. Tommy, you're gonna crack up when you hear this. When we got to the ticket door, I introduced her to Jen of the Stromboli sisters. I said, Jen, this is my wife, Megan. So wait, you're his wife? Oh no, I need to hug you for putting up with this guy. So, guys,
That's great.
A good one, and I'll see you guys next week. All right?
Sounds good, Brian.
Thank you so much.
Man.
All right, God bless.
Take care. Yeah, happy belated Mother's Day also to our good friends of the show, Jumpy Day, the Stromboli sisters, Stromboli sister Jen and Stromboli sister Vanessa.
Listen, man, those two are worth the trip to New Jersey alone. Even if you didn't have 80s Wrestling Con or the Wrestling Collector, I'd fly there just to meet those ladies again.
They're like our, remember back during the primetime wrestling days where they had the Rosati sisters?
Oh, for sure.
So we have the 80s Wrestling Podcast as the Stromboli sisters.
But I promise you, the Rosati sisters were not as hardworking as the Stromboli sisters. They did not stop moving. You listen, man, you got some hard workers there. They were moving and grooving, and they were getting stuff done.
Brother, they call the show. I just follow their lead. You know, when the Stromboli sisters crack the whip, I just do my thing. You know what I mean?
You just hop. Hey, I don't blame you, man. I do the exact same thing.
Hey, man, I'm gonna be heading out too because the show today is about 1 hour and 40 minutes from me today. Usually I run up in my area. We're heading down south today, so I got about 1 hour and 40 minute commute to get down there.
Nice.
And we got to be down at the gym by 2 o'clock today. We have access to get in, so we got to get in there and get the ring up and stuff. But again, anyone that lives in the New Jersey area wants to check out the show tonight. It's at Barnegat High School, Barnegat, New Jersey, 7 p.m. bell time. Just heard Rick Recon. He'll be there along with all the other superstars of ISPW. Jumpin' Jay, I hope that you have a great weekend. I hope you and your family. Oh, by the way, how was your wife's Mother's Day? Such a sweetheart of a lady, man. I'm second time I got to meet her, and three times now, right? Third time I met her, right?
No, I think you only met her the two times. The first 80s Wrestling Con, she came with, but she didn't come to the actual convention. She stayed back at the hotel.
Oh,
and
that's right.
So I think you met her first.
Hold on. So she didn't come to the first one. I want to know why she didn't come to the first one when she was in the state of New Jersey.
Yeah, so we were just getting ready to open our business, and so she was doing some of that kind of work. She brought her laptop, and so she was communicating with the contractors on what color this should be, what color that should be, talking to vendors. So it was a real busy time, and so she stayed back, took care of that, and I took the day to meet some of my childhood idols, including Tommy Fierro. And so that's the first one, but then she's been to two ones since then. And we didn't bring the kids the first time. They were too young.
I'll tell you what, you obviously made the right choice having her stay at the hotel doing the computer work for the first one, because I heard you have upwards of $40 million in the bank now. So obviously it was a good call on your end, my friend.
I think she was worried that she wouldn't enjoy the con being not being a wrestling fan because she had never been to one. But now she knows it's just a spectacle. And so if you just like good energy and good vibes and you want to see happy people, you go to Tommy's Wrestling Convention. It's a great day.
I saw her a couple of weeks back when you guys were there. And she had an ear-to-ear smile on her face the whole day every time I ran into her. She was definitely having a fun time. 100%.
Oh, dude. And everybody we see since then, she's showing pictures on her phone about, you know, she got to hug Sergeant Slaughter, so she's showing pictures to everybody. So, no, she had a fantastic day. She might have had more fun than I did. Yeah.
And you did, and also, I don't think I mentioned this last week, you did an awesome job, by the way, hosting the Jeopardy, the 80s wrestling Jeopardy game. That was cool how they set that up with all the questions like that. Look,
whoever you had set that up did an unbelievable job. That guy deserves a high five and a pat on the back. That guy was killer.
Yeah, man. That's actually my senior referee, Pat Savino, ISW referee. He set that up, and he did a fantastic job with that.
He did a fantastic job.
We definitely have to that's something we definitely have to bring back for next year's 80s con as well, and have that again, because that was a lot of fun. And it seemed like the people that were there were enjoying watching it as well. So that was definitely cool, man. But hey, listen, I hope you and your family have a great weekend. Hope everyone at home listening around the world has a great weekend. And I'm off to the show, and I will see you, we will see you next week right here on 80s Wrestling, the podcast.